This is Talk of the Nation. I'm Neil Conan in Washington. It's Memorial Day, and summer has unofficially started. In our not-so-humble opinion, it can't be summer without Talk of the Nation's annual summer reading list. Well, it might be a bit of an exaggeration, but there's no better time to catch up on reading. And who better to turn to for summer reading advice than our expert book critics and our ever-so-well-read listeners? As you regulars well know, by the end of this hour, you will be armed with a handy-dandy list of suggestions for books to explore this summer, compiled by you and by the experts. And you can see that list. You don't have to get out your pencils and write down all these books. You can see the list later after the show on our website at www.npr.org. You just go to Talk of the Nation page, and you can see a list of all of the books recommended by our experts and by your fellow listeners as well. We want to particularly talk about new books that have come out since last year's show. If there's any book that really blew you away this past year, or something you just have to recommend to everybody as summer reading, give us a phone call. 800-989-8255, 800-989-TALK. The email address is totn@npr.org. As he has for the past 3 years, book critic David Kippen joins us. He's book critic for the San Francisco Chronicle. He's with us from the studios of NPR West in Culver City, California. Good to have you back.
Oh, it's very good to be here, Neil. Thanks.
And also with us is Laura Miller, book critic for Salon.com. She's with us by phone from her home in New York City. Good to have you back as well.
It's great to be with you.
Let me ask you both, and this is probably something I ask every year, but is there something about a book that characterizes it as summer reading, David?
Well, I would say summer bestsellers maybe tend to be a little splashier, a little more lurid, but the books that I respond to most, I think, tend not to vary much from season to season.
Now, Laura, it's funny. I just really enjoyed that new history of the Peloponnesian War we talked about on the program. But, the Peloponnesian War smacks of November and port. It's not exactly sun protection factor and July.
Unless you're reading it while traveling through Greece.
That would be good.
And then all of the different scenery you pass through would take on a whole new meaning. For me, summer books just have to have maybe a little stronger story than you might, say, read in December. And that seems to be what people want more than anything else, is just a really a story that sort of picks you up by the scruff of the neck and won't let you go. But I think too often you wind up having to sacrifice good writing and believable characters to get a good story. And so I think it's always very important when summer comes around for book critics to help point out the books that are really well written in addition to being, page-turners.
You have just delivered yourself into a recommendation, Ms. Miller.
Well, the book that I'm very excited about right now is called Bangkok 8, and it's written by a man named John Burdett, and it's in some ways a conventional detective story, but the detective is not very conventional. He is a half-caste Thai policeman. He is the son of a Thai bar girl and an American serviceman who has vanished from the scene. And he is a devout Buddhist. And he goes about trying to solve the murder of an American Marine that indirectly results in the death of his partner and best friend. And that's a great story, but what's really wonderful about the book is the East meets West cultural friction and the ways that Bangkok is explained to the reader in this wonderful, very funny, very astute, terrific way.
All while we're investigating a murder, of course.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, but you will soon forget about the murder because you're so interested to hear him talk about his how he thinks Thai food is better than any other food in the world, and why the corruption in the Thai police force actually makes it actually works for everybody in the city and that kind of thing.
The book again, Bangkok 8?
Bangkok 8.
David Kippen, if you had one book to take away with you to the beach, what would it be?
I have a murder story in mind, too, but it's a different kind. It's nonfiction. It's called River of Shadows, Edward Muybridge and the Technological Wild West by a really smart essayist and nonfiction writer named Rebecca Solnit. This is about the guy who photographed Leland Stanford's horse and proved what a lot of people had not been able to agree on up until then, which is that all four of a horse's hooves do leave the ground regularly as a horse is galloping.
It flies.
It flies, exactly. He was also, as it turns out, a murderer. He shot his unfaithful wife at some point and was acquitted by a Northern California jury. This was in the late 19th century. He also was among the first people to shoot stereoscopic views of Yosemite. He's a really interesting figure, but on his own might not justify a full-length biography. What Rebecca Solnit does is she incorporates him into the story of how our conceptions of time have changed since the 19th century. She gets off a great line where she says, Muybridge was the first man to split the second, which in its own way was every bit as earth-shaking an achievement as the splitting of the atom.
That's a great way to put it. All right. What books do you all want to recommend? 800-989-8255, 800-989-TALK. Our email address, again, is TOTN at NPR.org. And let's go to Kelly, who joins us on the line from Portland, Oregon.
Hi, Neil. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I've just read a really wonderful new book that I love called Sixpence House by Paul Collins.
Oh.
And it's a story of moving his family to Wales. It's a little bit like a Bill Bryson type book, but he moves to this little town called Hay-on-Wye that I had never heard of.
The book town.
Yes.
Yeah, I've been there.
Okay, well, I guess I'm the last person not to have heard of it. But it's just a fun book, and you know, I'm planning to go there if everybody else doesn't beat me to it.
Oh, Hay-on-Wye, it's a town whose entire business has been taken up with the selling of used books, and I found books that I'd been looking for years in America, you know, remaindered out of American libraries in Hay-on-Wye, where, you know, one place just sells military history and another place. My wife had to give me a cardboard box and said, you can fill this up and you can't do anything more. but David, I heard an intake of breath at her mention of Sixpence House.
Just because that was on my list too. I've only read about half of it, but I'm just loving it. So many books about books kind of take it for granted that readers are interested in the subject matter, or else they wouldn't be reading a book about anything. And so they kind of trade on that easy affection. This is a book that's just, I mean, if it were about looking around me, if it were about keyboards, it would be fascinating because the writer is a tremendously engaging and witty guy. The fact that he's writing about something we all love, books, just makes it that much better.
Okay, Kelly, so thanks very much. And you've already read it. So what are you going to actually buy?
Oh, good question. I'm going to listen to your show. Thanks very much.
Thanks for the call, Kelly. Let's go now to Ed, and Ed's on the line from San Diego.
Yes, Neil. On this very somber day for me, because it's Memorial Day.
Yes, indeed.
I have to recommend a somber book, but it's terrific. It's Fast Food Nation by Eric Schlosser.
I take it, do you drive on vacations?
Excuse me?
Do you go for drives on your vacations?
Oh, no. No, but the Fast Food Nation book is about much more than the food. It's a thoroughly... Have you read it?
I have.
Okay. Well, you know, it's not a easy read. If something lighter, I'd recommend the second one, and that would be the one on Nickeled and Dimed by...
Barbara Ehrenreich.
Yes, Barbara Ehrenreich. And that goes much more quickly. But the thing is, I think if a lot of people are thinking about things, this is sort of a memorial to the once middle-class country that we had. And the stories are just, well, very, very gripping. This one affected me a lot. It was like a kick in the stomach when I read Fast Food Nation, and I've bought extra copies. It's in paperback, and so and I give them to as many people as I can.
Hmm. Well, Ed, thanks very much, and we appreciate your taking the time to call us today.
You're welcome.
Here's an email we got from Norman Baustein. I just finished a terrific book that Mr. Kippen reviewed favorably a few weeks ago in the San Francisco Chronicle titled Seriously Funny, The Rebel Comedians of the 50s and 60s, a wonderful, thorough, and beautifully written book about the satirical comics of that era. So I assume your recommendation still holds, David?
Oh, yeah. It's a terrific book. Takes you right back. For anybody who's ever listened to Comedy Records and you know, laughed along to Tom Lehrer and Mort Saul and all those guys, oh, it's just a real time machine.
Mm-hmm. Laura, as you look at some of the other books on your list, is there something that, you know, really, another book that holds up to that recommendation of, you know, maybe has a pretty strong narrative, a stronger narrative than you might be able to you know, might be more enjoyable in the warm months?
Well, I really love a a novel called The Bug by Ellen Ullman. And she is a software engineer turned novelist, which might sound like a strange career change, but this is a kind of a gothic tale of suspense and sort of psychological intrigue about some people who work at a software company, and this mysterious bug comes up as they're trying to finish this big project, and they can't really find it. And there's two different people. There's one who's a woman who has a, you know, like a former English major type who can't find a job and went to work in this tech company, and the other is a programmer who's trying to figure out some way to sort of find the secret of life by creating artificial life on a computer. And one of the things that he comes to realize is that there are some mysteries that can't really be easily broken down in that way. And it may not sound like the most suspenseful book in the world, but when you're reading it, oh, it's beautifully written. It's a fascinating look at these people who have changed our world, how these people think, what their lives are like, and you really get caught up in the quest to figure out where this bizarre thing came from.
I don't know about you, Laura, but as somebody who reads an awful lot for a living, I read differently professionally than I do when I'm just settling in with a regular page turner. Do you find it easy to step from one role to the other? And is there one kind of book that you enjoy? I mean, do you have a weakness for genre fiction that you indulge when you're at the beach?
You know, I'm trying to think of when I ever am actually not reading for work, because even when I'm just sort of reading for fun, what I'm looking for is books to recommend to other people. I think it's really important, if you're a critic, to just always remember that reading is a leisure activity. And if people aren't going to enjoy it, then they're just not going to do it. And I always try to keep that in mind when I'm looking, not just for summer books, but for books at any time of the year. You know, people enjoy learning things, but they also want just the pleasure of reading.
And don't necessarily want a spoonful of castor oil.
No. I call those spinach books.
David, the same question to you. I mean, do you find it easy to step back and actually read for pleasure?
I try to keep faith with the younger self who first fell in love with reading and decided he was going to make a living doing it somehow. And part of that entails not thinking of a fondness for genre books as a weakness.
Me either.
Good.
I have a real weakness for science fiction books. I like mysteries too, but science fiction in particular. And there is one book that I will recommend, and it's the only one in which I'll, other than the Peloponnesian War, which I like quite a bit, but Altered Carbon by a man named Richard Morgan, a first novel by a British science fiction writer. Wow, just terrific combination of William Gibson and Dashiell Hammett.
If
you get around that, and boy, the pages just turn. You have to be ready for a little sort of comic book violence, but if you can get past that, you'll enjoy it quite a bit. It's quite a good book. Let's get one more recommendation from you, Laura, before we have to let you go.
Well, for people who like sort of a light romantic comedy kind of feeling in the books that they're reading, I recommend very highly Love in Idleness by Amanda Craig. She's a British writer, and it's the story of some British and American people who rent a house in Tuscany. It's a bunch of people. They all are sort of old friends, and it's based on Shakespeare's Midsummer Night's Dream, which, if you're familiar with it, is one of these crazy stories where there's a love potion, and first A is in love with B, and then C is in love with D, and then they switch around, and there's a little bit of magic in it. There's a lot of humor. It's very kind of sexy, but not too much so, and it's just a beautiful, funny read.
Laura Miller, thanks very much for being with us.
Thank you. It's been fun.
Laura Miller, book critic for Salon.com, with us from her home in New York City. We're talking about what to read this summer with a panel of professional book critics and with you. Call us with a suggestion that you think just makes terrific summertime reading. 800-989-8255. It's Talk of the Nation from NPR News. This is Talk of the Nation. I'm Neil Conan in Washington. It's Memorial Day, so visions of hammocks and beach chairs, not that far off for most of us. It's the unofficial beginning of summer and time for Talk of the Nation's annual summer reading list. Our guest is David Kippen, book critic for the San Francisco Chronicle. If you plan to read a new book this summer or have something you can recommend for everybody else, something you'd make the terrific summer book, give us a call at 800-989-8255. 800-989-TALK, and the email address is totn@npr.org. And joining us now from Cambridge, Massachusetts, it's Gail Caldwell, chief book critic at the Boston Globe. And I think this is the first time we've had you on this roundup. Welcome.
How are you, Neil?
Very well, thanks. Tell us what your first choice is. If you could read only one new book this summer, what would it be?
Ooh, one new book?
Yep.
I'm going to throw some short stories into the hopper here. I've actually been, my reading list has been enhanced by listening to Laura and David, but one that they have not mentioned that I think is quite wonderful is A Few Short Notes on Tropical Butterflies by a man named John Murray. He's an infectious disease doctor and a graduate of the Iowa School of Writers, and has published his first collection of stories, which are mostly set in India and Africa, and they're really quite lovely. They're serious and dark, but they're also short, so one can imagine getting quite a bit out of them without an extreme amount of work.
Yeah, you can glance up and watch the kids frolic in the surf and get back to the story.
Exactly.
Yeah. David Kippen, it seems to me short stories are almost perfect for summer reading.
Oh, yeah, perfect. You can use the sand at the beach as a placeholder to come back to the book sometime later.
Well, let's get some more listener suggestions. Adam joins us on the line from Kansas City.
Hello.
Hi.
Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
The book I'd like to recommend, which I think is an awesome book, is Ishmael by Daniel Quinn. And it's not a brand new book. I think it's been out for maybe 5 or so years or so. But it's a wonderful philosophical book that
friends have given it to me. I have not gotten around to reading it because nobody's holding a gun to my head. So, Adam, tell me a little bit about it.
Well, it's a story that kind of, I mean, it's hard to, you know, want to run out and read it because of the premise. But there's a guy that finds himself with a connection with this gorilla, and this gorilla has like this a whole lot of knowledge about just how men and women, like humans, should live.
Hmm.
And so he teaches this man of just how our system of living in now isn't the way it should be.
Is Ishmael his name?
Ishmael is his name.
So we should call him, never mind, I'm sure the joke's been made. Adam, thanks very much. I'll try to get around to it.
Thank you very
much. Maybe that's the one I'll take to the beach this summer. Appreciate it.
Mm-hmm. Bye.
All right, let's go to Nick, and Nick is with us from Sterling, Illinois.
Hi, Neil. Happy Memorial Day to you.
Happy Memorial Day to you.
Well, I'd like to make a recommendation. It's not a terribly new book. I believe it came out in November. It's by Hunter S. Thompson, and it's called Kingdom of Fear.
Okay. Now, I've not read Hunter Thompson's books for quite some time. Am I missing something, Nick?
Well, I'm not so sure. Well, I mean, it's really, he goes through the political turmoil that only he knows how to do of the day. He spends quite a lot of time on what's been going on after September. And he tells stories, and the way he crafts sentences and words is just such a unique thing. If you've ever read Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas, you know what I'm talking about.
Indeed I have, yeah.
Indeed, yeah. Well, there's nothing lost. It seems even after, what was it, like 30 years or so, he's still got it, even though, you know, he's really sort of out of it these days, but he still knows how to tell it. He goes from everything from, like I said, politics today to what he was doing when he was a writer 30 years ago, and he was also talking about...
He claims to remember, does he?
Yeah, he claims to remember. It's, it's all sort of up in the air as to what you want to believe is fabricated and what happens to be, factual.
Well, thanks very much, Nick. I appreciate the suggestion.
Certainly.
Okay. David Kippen, Hunter Thompson, I don't know how much nonfiction you read, but this is, it's always difficult sometimes, a hero from many years ago comes out with a new collection or a new book, and you often don't really even want to know whether he's still got it anymore.
Well, I was sort of in that predicament recently because my favorite writer pretty much of all time, my gold standard, Thomas Pynchon,
oh, yes.
Has just come out with a new introduction to an edition of 1984 in honor of George Orwell's 100th anniversary of his birth. And some of my friends have been heard to say that maybe Pynchon isn't quite the writer he was when he wrote Gravity's Rainbow. And I read this introduction, and I just think it's tremendous. Maybe you have to take what I say with a grain of salt because he is such a touchstone for me. But mm-hmm. I can't praise it highly enough. It's so savvy and funny and humane. I don't hesitate to praise it to the skies.
You wonder how they even booked who had the trepidation to approach him for the idea of writing the introduction.
I gather he's best approached through intermediaries.
I gather, too. I think that's interesting. Anyway, let's go to Barbara, who joins us from Riverton, Wyoming.
Hi, Neil.
Hi.
I'm enjoying this immensely. I want to recommend a kind of cookbook. It's called Cooking for Mr. Latte, and it's by a food reporter for the New York Times, Amanda Hesser. And it's really the story of her courtship with the man that she uses the pseudonym for, Mr. Latte. And it's a series of chapters in which she describes cooking and eating and food and friendship. And I loved the book. She wrote The Cook and the Gardener. And I loved the book, and I love the recipes. And it's just a wonderful book for inspiration of things to cook from for summer, but also a young woman's kind of sojourn through New York City, and it's great.
Do you have to be a culinary critic as well as a literary critic? I mean, are the recipes any good?
They are. In fact, I cooked four things from the book and emailed her, and she emailed me back.
Really?
In Wyoming, there are some things you simply can't find, so I had to choose rather carefully, but they were great, and I have... It's kind of the rage out here in our small town right now. Several of us have read it and cooked from it, and it's great fun.
Well, thanks very much for the recommendation.
You're welcome.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye.
Gail Caldwell, I mean, there's this whole, subgenre. There's books with recipes in them, novels.
Mm-hmm.
Are there any of them any good?
Well, that I don't know. I have to say, though, can I come back to something that I think Ed from San Diego brought up? It is Memorial Day.
Yes, it is.
I'm curious as to whether... your listeners tend to read in the same kind of clumps and genres that you're talking about. I love reading war novels, have always loved reading war novels ever since I was a kid, and I think some of my favorite memories are immersed in books like Brideshead Revisited or Last Atonement from a couple of years ago. I wonder if other people have the same draw to something that... intense and passionate when they're in the middle of what is supposed to be the lightest time of the year.
Well, here's an email along the same lines from Catherine Bowler in Denver. In keeping with the day, I have to recommend a book I'm reading right now, The Cat from Hue by John Lawrence. Lawrence was a CBS reporter in Vietnam. The book is very, you are there, very fresh despite the chasm of years. I'm not a huge Vietnam War buff. This is the first Vietnam book I've read besides Tim O'Brien's The Things They Carried, and I'm finding it a real page-turner, very informative without being lecturing. It's a big book, too, worth hours of good reading on the porch swing. And, well, David, that's another approach. We mentioned, the short stories approach. The big fat book approach is another one that everybody seems to haul at least one of those down to the beach.
Oh, I'm reading a doorstop now called Mortals by Norman Rush, the guy who wrote Whites and Mating. And I'm really enjoying it, though I can't really weigh in authoritatively until I've gotten a little farther into it. But that's going to keep you company for a few weeks on end. Let's see, a war novel that I'm irreconcilably infatuated with is Gravity's Rainbow by Thomas Pynchon, which is a good 900 pages long. That's a story of World War II that takes place mostly in Europe in the waning days of combat. And it's not only a terrific book, but I think kind of relevant to a lot of military adventurism you see in the world today.
Let's go to Tim, who's on the line with us from Berkeley, California.
Yeah, hi. I recommend Ian M. Banks.
Another science fiction writer.
Scottish science fiction writer. He also writes is Ian Banks. He writes non-science fiction. He wrote The Wasp Factory.
I was in a bookstore in London, and basically they had them divided to the fun and not fun. But yeah. I bought the science fiction book, which was a lot of fun.
Which one was it you bought?
I'm straining for the name. I apologize. It was one of those I wasn't reading professionally, so I tend to lose it quickly.
He has this whole universe called The Culture.
Indeed, it was a culture universe book.
Very similar to the U.S., I guess, and compared to how the U.S. is with the rest of the world.
But, and very critical of it in some respects, but also can't get around it.
Exactly. And then for younger readers, I think Terry Pratchett has a huge line of books which are also very, very fun. He writes these Discworld novels. Very good.
Okay, well, thanks very much, Tim.
My pleasure. Enjoy your summer.
Thank you. You too. Do you have a weakness for science fiction, Gail?
Not really. I have been known to hole up with Dashiell Hammett and Raymond Chandler, so I tend to go toward the old mystery guys.
All right, well,
that's close enough.
Todd joins us now from Portland, Oregon.
Hello.
Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, happy Memorial Day.
You too.
I wanted to recommend one of the best wedding presents we got. My wife and I moved from the West Coast to New Mexico, where we knew no one. We'd never been before, and a friend of mine went to a used bookstore and bought 6 great classic books about and or written in New Mexico. And one of them was a collection of mystery novels by the Southwest mystery writer Tony Hillerman, who has come out with a new book called Sinister Pig, which I'm planning on reading this summer, and would recommend anyone who is interested in mystery novels, and particularly people traveling through or living in the Southwest of the United States.
Okay, well, you also come from the location of one of the great used bookstores on the planet.
Absolutely, Powell's.
Absolutely, one of the, again.
Mecca.
My credit cards must be taken away before I enter.
A book ban.
Absolutely. Todd, thanks very much for the call.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. And here's a suggestion we got from Edward in Sierra Madre, California. John Steinbeck's Cannery Row. This book, he says, came up in conversation with a friend last summer. He hadn't read it and didn't want to read a stodgy, boring classic. It took me 6 months to convince him to do so, and he loved it. It is a light read that's full of rich humor and perfect for summer reading.
That's a tremendous book, and you should also make a point of reading its companion book, Sweet Thursday, which for my money is every bit as good.
Now, that I've not read.
Oh, it's wonderful.
Okay. Laura, is there a classic, mid-century classic that you'd like to, Gail, that you'd like to revive for us?
Oh, Lord, mid-century? Let's see. There's a lot. I think when I'm best left to myself, I read only the old things. This year it may be Virginia Woolf.
Really?
Yeah.
Which one?
To the Lighthouse is still my favorite.
Oh, so you're going to reread Virginia Woolf?
Oh, always. I think you have to be 30 before you can even appreciate Virginia Woolf. So I tend to go through people, a decade at a time.
Here are some of the headlines today from NPR News. Making a Memorial Day speech, Memorial Day with a speech at Arlington National Cemetery, President Bush declared that liberty is always the achievement of courage. Also, the Israeli cabinet has given its approval by a 12-7 vote for a plan known as the Roadmap for Peace in the Middle East, but with a requirement that the Palestinian Authority crack down against militant groups. You can hear those stories on both of those later today from NPR's Larry Abramson and Peter Kenyon on All Things Considered. Right now you're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. And our guests are Gail Caldwell of the Boston Globe and David Kippen of the San Francisco Chronicle. We're assembling Talk of the Nation's annual summer reading list. Of course, we're doing it with your suggestions. And let's read another email, this one from Randall Samuels in Hartland, Michigan. You may need a month at the beach to read it and a trip down to that town in Wales to find it. But Travels in Arabia Deserta by Charles Doughty chronicles a 2-year trek through what is now Saudi Arabia with Bedouins in the early 1870s. You come to realize that so many of the attitudes we encounter in the Mideast go way back, and that not coming to some understanding of this will result in failure to resolve today's differences in the region. A fascinatingly detailed picture of daily life that also provides a vivid description of the land's flora, fauna, and geography. Go for the complete version, not the abridged, if you can find it. One of the best travel narratives I've encountered. All right, there's a suggestion. Another one from you, David?
Well, when people think of summer, at least when I do, I think of baseball. And there's a really interesting baseball book just out called Moneyball by Michael Lewis. And he basically, the author, follows the general manager of the Oakland A's for a full season. That's a guy named Billy Bean.
Billy Bean, yes.
Yes, who has managed to keep his team competitive against other general managers who have triple as much as he does to spend. And the way he does it, by studying statistics and probability theory really closely with a few of his associates, is really interesting. He comes into contact with, it comes into conflict with a lot of old-time baseball scouts, and is really ingenious the way Lewis gets you rooting for the young technocrats against the old salty veterans, because ordinarily your sympathy would be on the other side. It's just, it'll change the way you watch a baseball game.
All right. Let's go now with Andy, who joins us from Clemson, South Carolina.
Yeah, hi, Neil.
How you doing?
Good. I wanted to make a recommendation, a book of short stories I've been reading called Middle of Night by Daniel Stoller.
What do you like about it so much?
Well, I mean, I'm an English professor, so I have the same problem. I like to read for pleasure in the summertime, and I try to find young writers who remind me of some of the best American short story writers, like, you know, Updike and Cheever. And his stories are, each one is kind of a separate drama in itself, and, you know, kind of like some of the classic short stories, it follows the, you know, a narrator through some of the pains and joys of life. And I like it. It's about a lot of the stories are set in St. Louis, and by the end of the book, you get a real sense of these this community of characters who seem to define that city.
Okay, Middle of the Night, it's called.
Yeah, it's by Picador Press, and it just came out 2 weeks ago, and I had a whole stack to read, and I chose that one first, and I think I finished it probably in a couple of days because I like to read for pleasure, but I like books that are that aren't just light but have kind of a serious edge to it, and the language is really exquisite.
Okay.
He reminds me, like I said, of some of the best short story writers we have.
All right, Andy, thanks very much. Gail Caldwell, one more from you.
Well, Andy has inspired me to mention Carolyn Cook's short stories called The Bostons, which have been out about a year and a half, and they're in paper, and they are beautiful kind of Jamesian stories set in Maine and in Massachusetts that are as piercing a portraiture of a city and its inhabitants that I've read in years.
One more from the listeners. This is an email from Gail Fox. My pick for the summer's reading list is a new book called Buying Dad, One Woman's Search for the Perfect Sperm Donor by Harlan Aisley. It's the first-person chronicle of an alternative American family in the making and reads with the humor and poignancy of Anne Lamott's Operating Instructions. All right, that's Buying Dad, One Woman's Search for the Perfect Sperm Donor. Gail Caldwell, thank you so much for being with us today.
You're so welcome.
Gail Caldwell is chief book critic at the Boston Globe. She was with us from her home in Cambridge, Massachusetts. And David Kippen, as always, thank you for being with us. David Kippen is book critic for the San Francisco Chronicle and was at the studios of NPR West in Culver City, California. A complete reading list is available on our website later today. You can check out npr.org and look out for Talk of the Nation's summer reading list. Again, npr.org. When we come back from a short break, why do so many Americans seem to not have time to read or really appreciate the joys of leisure? It's okay to be lazy, says our next guest. Are you? Can you afford to be? 800-989-8255. I'm Neil Conan. It's Talk of the Nation from NPR News.